Last year's Jets draft class already looks like one of the greatest in franchise history, but if three players develop, it could get even better. We're talking about second-year expectations for the Jets draft class of 2022 today on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is Tuesday, May 9th, 2023, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. Subscribe to this podcast on YouTube for free or wherever you get your podcasts so that you'll get new episodes as soon as they're posted. If you're listening to the show on a podcast source, please give it a 5-star review if you like it, and give this episode a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. These things help the channel out and help other Jets fans find Locked On Jets. Today, our episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOn today to get 10% off your first month. And today we're going to talk about the Jets draft class of 2022. Of course, the Jets just drafted 7 players a few weeks ago. They will have a difficult time living up to the class the Jets drafted a year ago, however. It already looks like one of the greatest Jets draft classes ever. You had 2 rookies of the year. You had the rookie of the year on offense in Garrett Wilson. You had the rookie of the year on defense in Sauce Gardner. And in the second round, the Jets drafted another player in Breece Hall, who very well may have beaten out Garrett Wilson for the offensive rookie of the year had he not gotten injured around the halfway point of the season. How could this class get even better? Well, we're going to talk about it today because there are some players who could make a big difference for this team in 2023 and beyond if they step up. And of course, this class is entering its second season. And for many players in the NFL, the biggest improvement comes between season 1 and season 2 because they now know the playbook. They've gotten used to competing against NFL talent. The adjustment from college where, you know, it's not really, it's kind of your job, but not really your job, to the pros where it is your job 24/7 is now complete. You've gotten a chance to really get acclimated to the NFL. And this is the offseason, especially the offseason program, where players start to make their move. Now, I mentioned 3 of the top 4 picks the Jets made. I mentioned Garrett Wilson, and I mentioned Sauce Gardner, and I mentioned Breece Hall. 3 players who look like building blocks for this franchise for years to come. There was a 4th player the Jets drafted in the top 40 last year, and his rookie season was pretty unremarkable. And it's not to say that he's necessarily a guy who's not destined for big things. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's destined for failure, but he just did not deliver at the level of the other guys. And maybe that's to be expected to some extent because he played on the defensive line, a spot where the Jets are pretty deep. And that's Jermaine Johnson, the guy the Jets traded up for. They had 2 first-round picks last year heading into draft day, and then they traded up to get a 3rd first-round pick and select Jermaine Johnson. And again, Johnson did not do much last year. He played a handful of snaps. He was a rotational guy. It felt to me like every time he played, though, you noticed him. You know, he made a play here or there almost every game he was in. I think he's a guy who profiles as a pretty strong run defender, and you did not get a ton out of him as a pass rusher, but there's one play that comes to mind. It was in the Jets' upset victory over the Buffalo Bills in November in the Meadowlands. I think it wasn't really a pass rush move, but he essentially was the unblocked guy by design on a play by Buffalo where they were trying to roll Josh Allen out. And essentially, on plays like that, sometimes what happens is you leave the guy on the end of the line unblocked, and essentially you hope that he bites on a fake. And Johnson did not do that. And he took Josh Allen down one-on-one in the open field, which I think is kind of a way to show, the way to display the outstanding talent he's got. This guy, if he puts the pieces together, could be a very good player, but he was also a relatively older prospect when the Jets drafted him. Now, I think sometimes we get carried away by worrying about, oh, this guy's older, because ultimately, you really only care if a guy's a good player. I think where it comes into play, first of all, if you're like 23, you're generally an older prospect. So if you only started dominating college your final season when you were the oldest guy on the field, that's a bit of a red flag. The other aspect of it is after you get to the NFL, I feel like you have less time to put it together because you're already closer to your athletic prime. And Johnson, you know, he's already, you know, approaching, if not in his mid-20s, this is a guy who really needs to put it together, because if you don't get to, if you're not a good player by the time you're in your mid-20s, you're probably not going to put it together in this league. Of course, this was a first-round pick, so you know, you could say first-round talent. And one of the interesting things about the Jets on defense right now, especially up front on the line, is that they have a lot of very solid players. They don't have an edge rusher, though, who profiles as somebody who's a difference maker. They have some good edge rushers. Carl Lawson, a guy who's consistently generated a lot of pressures throughout his career. John Franklin Myers, a guy who's really developed into a heck of a player. And then you have some other guys. Bryce Huff, who's an excellent situational player. The Jets kind of kept him in passing downs a year ago, and he produced pressures at an enormous rate. But they don't have that guy who can get 10 sacks off the edge. Now, they have a guy who can get 10 sacks from the middle of the line at defensive tackle. That's Quinnen Williams, because he just threw up a double-digit sack season. So, Jets, you could say that their star player on the defensive line is Quinnen Williams. But I think what you want, as much as anything, is, yes, you want good players on the defensive line, but you want that edge rusher the other team stays up nights thinking about. You know, even when you're playing, even when you have a great defensive tackle, it's not necessarily easy to neutralize him, but you know somebody's getting double-teamed on every play. And that player is usually an interior type who plays the defensive tackle position, because the center usually is not, blocking schemes vary, but generally speaking, the center has to snap the ball. So he's usually helping out one of the other linemen at the snap. So that means that it's unusual, especially in today's NFL, for a center to go one-on-one against one of the four defensive linemen. Five offensive linemen, four defensive linemen, somebody's double teaming, and the center is usually the guy who's part of a double team. So that means if somebody's going to get doubled, it's going to typically be a defensive tackle. And I'm oversimplifying it. It's not that simplistic, but if you think it through, it makes sense. Defensive tackles are going to see more double teams than guys out on the edge. So that means you'd love to have a guy out on the edge who can just beat a tackle one-on-one consistently and get to the quarterback. And I think that this defense, while it's very good, it could be taken to the next level if a Jermaine Johnson lives up to his draft billing. First-round pick, you're hoping for big things. Now, I don't think that necessarily is what Jermaine Johnson requires to be considered a successful pick. I think, ultimately, if he's an average to above-average edge rusher, I mean, there's a lot of value in that. I think that sometimes we get a little carried away with our expectations for first-round picks, especially guys who are drafted in the later part of the first round. You know, they don't necessarily need to be superstars to be successful, but you'd love to have it. You'd love Jermaine Johnson to blossom into a 10-sack guy, and if he develops into a 6-7-sack guy, that's pretty good. But that's the one thing I think could take this defense to the next level. Is a guy who's not just a good edge rusher, but a guy who's next-level edge rusher. And I think that's the reason the Jets wanted Jermaine Johnson. They traded up again last year to get him. And I think when you're trading up in the first round, you're expecting somebody to develop into a big difference maker. And I think part of the challenge for Jermaine Johnson is the other rookies last year were so great, especially the guys drafted in the top 40, that perhaps it creates unrealistic expectations. I don't think his rookie year was terrible. You know, it was pretty much a get acclimated to the NFL type of rookie year. But I think the Jets are certainly hoping that he'll take the next step this year. And the Jets have a lot of depth on the defensive line. Will McDonald could step in. I think the Jets clearly, though, they want Jermaine to step into a more prominent role. And if he does, it's the type of thing that could take an already good defense and make it potentially great. Now, as we continue here on this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll move from talking about one of the deepest spots on the field for the Jets, a defensive line, to, frankly, the weakest, maybe, the tight end position. There's one hope, I think, at that position. It's a guy entering his second year who the Jets drafted in the third round last year. It's Jeremy Ruckert, and we'll talk about what he needs to do as we continue on this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself. Therapy has many positive benefits. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, and empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it is not just for those who have experienced major trauma. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOn today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOn. Thank you again for making Locked On Jets your first listen every day, and you everydayers tune in tomorrow. We're going to have our weekly mailbag show each Wednesday. We try and do a mailbag full of listener questions, so if you got a question for me, send it in. Tomorrow's our weekly mailbag show. Today we're talking about the Jets draft class of 2022. It's an outstanding draft class already, one of the best in franchise history, probably the best, you could say the best already since 2007 when the Jets drafted Darrell Revis and David Harris. It's got that kind of impact for this team. And it could get even better if some of these guys they picked develop. A guy I have my eye on this year is Jeremy Ruckert. And part of the reason I have my eye on him is he plays tight end. And I don't know if you've been following it. I don't know if you've been following the tight end position for the Jets. It's not very good. It's expensive. Jets gave Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzama plenty of money last offseason. They did not pan out very well. And I know Conklin has some fans because he... The stat line looks okay, but if you dig a little bit deeper, you know how much of the Conklin production was really empty calories. You know, checkdowns on third down that don't produce the first down. Stat padding when the game was already over, when the Jets were losing by two scores in the second half. There was a lot of that for Tyler Conklin. He was not a particularly effective blocker. Uzama did not really have much of a stat line last year. He was an okay blocker. Jets need better production out of the tight end position, though. And of the two, I mean, if you're telling me one of these guys is going to get better this year with Aaron Rodgers, my guess is that it would be Uzama because he's at least had stretches of being a competent starting tight end in his career with the Cincinnati Bengals. But my hope is more for the second-year guy out of Ohio State, Jeremy Ruckert. And I think we knew going into last year it was going to be a redshirt year for Ruckert. First of all, the Jets just gave two veteran tight ends fairly lucrative contracts. I'm not going to act like they reset the market. I'm not going to act like these guys are paid like Travis Kelce or George Kittle. But they got fairly healthy contracts. Contracts that, you know, maybe were not commensurate with the way they've produced to this point in their careers. And at the time, the Jets were trying to move on from Ryan Griffin and Tyler Croft and Trayvon Wesco. And it just felt like they were desperate, so they're throwing money at tight ends. And it really, I don't think it worked out very well. Well, enter Jeremy Ruckert. And not only were the Jets breaking in these new veteran tight ends last year, but Ruckert was a guy whose game clearly needed some work. And I view him right now as a wild card, because this was not a guy who was going to contribute in year one. First of all, he needed work in the receiving game. He was at Ohio State. Now, I don't know if you followed the receivers who were at Ohio State while Ruckert was there. It includes the likes of Garrett Wilson. Pretty good receiver, right? Chris Olave. You may have heard of him. Pretty good receiver. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jameson Williams. I've said this before, and you everydayers who are tuned into the show every day, Monday through Friday, may recognize this. Jameson Williams, who went to Alabama and developed into a first-round pick, had to transfer to Alabama because there was so much receiving talent at Ohio State that he couldn't get on the field. And that's a guy going to Alabama. That's not a guy going to like some small school. It's going to Alabama. And that shows you how deep Ohio State was at receiver. That also means that there were not a lot of targets for the tight end. And Ohio State, you know, from what I saw watching Ruckert's college footage, it did not seem like they had that big of a route tree for him. And whenever you bring in a guy with a limited college route tree, there's always going to be an adjustment period because he's got to learn how to run certain types of routes. I think Ruckert, you know, he's not necessarily a particularly explosive athlete, but a guy who has enough skills to potentially be a decent receiving tight end. He also needed some work in the blocking game, and I think that there was a disconnect when the Jets drafted Ruckert, because there was this viewpoint that he was a great blocker. I don't think that that was true coming out of college. I think I know why people said it, and that's because he had a tendency, when he hit a block, he really hit a block. I mean, there were some highlight reel blocks in college, and even in the NFL in limited action, I've seen a few of his clips, his blocking clips on social media, really spread around to generate excitement for him. Well, it's not just about what you do on the dominant blocks. It's what you do on a play-to-play basis. And Ruckert was a guy who got caught leaning. I think there were times where he was out of control on split zone plays. And on a split zone play, sometimes what happens with the tight end is he starts on the left side of the formation and has to run all the way to block the guy all the way on the right side of the formation, or vice versa. He may start on the other side. Essentially, he has to block the guy. He has to go all the way across the formation and block the guy on the extreme opposite side. It's not easy to do because it's very easy to get out of control because you have to get there fast. So you're running really hard. And I think that it was kind of a microcosm of Ruckert's issues, is that he's inconsistent with technique. He needed some work to improve to so that he would be playable on a more consistent basis once he got to the pros. It's always difficult to say how guys like this are going to develop. Sometimes it just clicks for them in year two. Other times it never clicks for them. So I don't really know what to expect out of Ruckert this season. Now, I know Zach Kuntz, the tight end the Jets just drafted out of Old Dominion in the seventh round, is getting a lot of buzz. He's kind of in the Ruckert camp. He's a different type of player. You know, he's very athletic, probably more of a slot receiver. I view Kuntz as a big slot receiver. But he's another guy who's going to need a year, at least, I think. I would be surprised if he did not. Ruckert has now had a year. He has a year under his belt. And I think as much as anything for Ruckert, what gives him the advantage is what the competition is. Because with all due respect to the Uzama and Conklin fans out there, I don't think there is a lot of competition right now for Jeremy Ruckert. I think if he goes out there and plays well, he's earned a spot. He could potentially earn a starting spot. He could potentially earn playing time because these are not very impressive tight ends the Jets have. So every opportunity should be there. I would hope that the Jets will give him the chance. And I mean, I think one thing that does help him is the fact there's a new offensive coaching staff. And sometimes what happens is a coaching staff develops favorites. You know, they don't keep an open mind about other guys. And I think the fact that, even though I know Robert Saleh is still here, the offensive coaching staff is different. You got a new offensive coordinator. You have new guys across the offensive coaching staff. So a guy like Ruckert, you know, there may be an open mind toward playing him in a way maybe there would not be with the old coaching staff with Mike LaFleur in place, because Mike LaFleur has his incumbent starters, and sometimes a coach is a little bit hesitant to demote his incumbent starters. So we'll see what happens. I think that Ruckert deserves a chance to show what he can do. He deserves a chance to show that he belongs on the field. And again, I don't think it's a very high bar. I think that if he shows much of anything, he should have a great shot at earning a starting job. Now, as we continue on this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast, I'll talk about a guy who probably is not going to earn a starting job, but a guy who could play a very big role in determining success or failure for the Jets in 2023. That's Max Mitchell, a guy who got some starting experience this past year, and the Jets are certainly going to hope that that will serve him well moving forward, because he may be called upon even though he's not a starter. We'll talk about it more as we continue on this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Tuesday. We're talking about the 2022 Jets draft class, but the guys who really were not standout players last year. Standout players were Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, and Breece Hall. And you could talk about Michael Clemens. I mean, Michael Clemens, I think, is an okay rotational guy. I don't know that he's going to be much more than that, but I think Michael Clemens, you know, made a positive impact last year. He was one of the standouts of the preseason. You could not help but notice Michael Clemens if you watched those preseason games last year. And perhaps, you know, maybe he can develop a little bit more. But Clemens, I think, is a guy who was drafted in the fourth round. You get a rotational player out of him, that's pretty good. There's another fourth round pick the Jets made, though, last year. Max Mitchell, who was kind of pressed into the starting lineup because the Jets had so many injuries at the tackle position, whether it was Mekhi Becton or Dwayne Brown or George Fant. So Max Mitchell actually got some starting experience. And I think if you watch those games, you saw a guy who was trying hard, but a guy who just wasn't ready physically. Jets drafted him in the fourth round. And when you draft somebody in the fourth round, well, usually they're going to need some time. You don't have many plug-and-play guys in the fourth round. If you find a plug-and-play guy from day one in the fourth round, you've done very well. The Jets, you know, if you go back to 2005, the Jets actually did find somebody like that in Kerry Rhodes, who played safety. But it's very rare. Fourth-round picks usually need some work. And the reason that they're not plug-and-play guys is that if they were guys who were ready to hit the ground running, they'd probably go higher than the fourth round. And Mitchell clearly was pushed around. He was not physically ready. This was supposed to be a year, I think, 2022, where he was supposed to get to the weight room, really bulk up, and come back in year two, hopefully stronger, hopefully ready to make more of an impact on the offensive line. Now, perhaps that playing experience will do him well. Certainly possible that the struggles last year Max Mitchell had, and I think he did have struggles. There are people saying that he played well. I don't think he played well. I think he did his best. I think he was in a tough spot. I think he was thrown into the lineup before he was supposed to be thrown into the lineup. I don't think he was ready, but maybe that experience will serve him well. And maybe he will have hit the weight room this offseason. Perhaps he'll be able to help the Jets out at the tackle position. Now, he's not going to start the year as a starting level player. Dwayne Brown's going to start at left tackle. Mekhi Becton's going to start at right tackle. At least that's the way things will be at this beginning of training camp. But we know that there are question marks there. There are. Dwayne Brown's 38, and he's coming off an injury-plagued season. And Mekhi Becton, I mean, I think it would be an understatement right now to call Mekhi Becton injury-plagued. You hope Becton can put it together. you hope Becton can stay healthy. That's different from saying I've got faith Becton's going to do these things. So there could very well be a chance Max Mitchell's called upon. And I know the Jets just signed a veteran, Billy Turner, a former Packer player, so perhaps Turner will be in the mix. But I don't think Turner's so impressive that he necessarily has the third spot over Max Mitchell if Max Mitchell shows that he's ready to play. And tackle's a spot where the Jets are going to need somebody. The Jets are going to need people to step up this year. And this may sound ominous to you. It may sound exciting to you. Max Mitchell's ability to step in, Max Mitchell's ability to develop in the offseason could have a big impact on the success or failure of this team, because Jets have a 39-year-old quarterback. I know it's Aaron Rodgers, but he's 39. And when your quarterback hits that age, you don't want him to get hit. Not that you ever want your quarterback to get hit, but especially when he's pushing 40. Those hits add up. And even if it, you know, even if early in the season they don't impact him, by the time you get to November and December, I think especially when you're talking about a quarterback that age, it begins to show how much wear and tear he took during the early part of the season. And when those hits begin to add up, it can really impact a quarterback down the stretch. And this is not the only spot on the offensive line where the Jets have issues. I mean, the Jets have issues pretty much everywhere on the offensive line right now, if we're being honest. Or maybe, if not issues, question marks almost everywhere, except maybe except Elijah Vera Tucker. But everywhere else, I mean, there are question marks. And no place are those question marks more pronounced than the offensive tackle position. If Max Mitchell can stabilize the depth at least, it's a big deal for the Jets. And it's the type of thing that, even if he never is as good at tackle as Breece Hall is at running back, or Sauce is at corner, or Garrett is at receiver, he'll never hit that level probably. He's not going to be an all-pro type talent. But if he gives you credible play there, it could be an enormous difference. It could be the difference between a successful season and a season where the Jets fall short. So I do think there's a lot on Max Mitchell because of the nature of the tackle position right now, both its importance and the guys the Jets have in there. It's almost a certainty somebody's going to be called upon this year, one of the backups, and somebody's going to need to step up. And hopefully for the Jets, it might be Max Mitchell. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. As always, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please give the show a 5-star review. And if you're watching on YouTube, a big thumbs up. These things help the podcast out, help other Jets fans find us. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. Send in your mailbag questions. Tomorrow we have our weekly mailbag show.